It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, once again this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. And it's time to say good morning to Arthur. Arthur, good morning.
Do you say Erin go blah? Is that what you say for St. Patrick's Day?
That's exactly, that's what they meant to say anyways.
Anyway, something like that. You know, when I grew up, I only knew Italians, Jews, and Irish people. So there was no other ethnic group in my neighborhood. We had one German family. Anyway, I have a couple times a year for corned beef, which I have given up on in delicatessens long ago. I would say that I haven't had a good corned beef sandwich in a delicatessen probably in 25 years. So it's been at least that long. It's always dry, it's steamed out, it's sort of tasteless, all kinds of problems you can have with corned beef, even when you make it yourself.
Arthur, you know, when I was a kid, my father used to take us to the Stage Deli.
Well, in those days, the Stage Deli was not only there, but good.
Yes.
I once sat next to Ethel Merman at the Stage Deli. I'll never forget that. I mean, it was one of the thrills of my teenage years. Even though my father, when I came home and told my father that I'd sat next to Ethel Merman, he told me a bad Ethel Merman story, because my father was a flower shop delivery boy when he was a kid. And he once had to deliver flowers to Ethel Merman. And she said something ugly to her mother, who lived with her. And my father never forgot that. I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to a more pleasant subject.
Okay.
Corned beef is, as the name suggests, it is pickled beef. And the traditional cut for corned beef is brisket, which is a tough and cut that needs to have long, slow cooking to be even edible. So I understand why it's so difficult for a restaurant, a delicatessen, to provide you with really first-class corned beef. But I do make a corned beef a couple times a year. And what I prefer is the point cut. You say it in both Yiddish and German, which means the cap or the top. And that is a fattier, more, even more tough piece of meat than the flat beef, which is called first cut. To me, it's not the first, implying the best. I think the best is the top part, which is called either point cut or deckel, or even second cut, implying that it's less good. Well,
what's great about that is Malik Bonds here makes that cut for me, because I don't like the flat cut either.
No, I know. So if you have a butcher, he'll probably happily sell you a point cut, because almost everybody wants an over trimmed brisket itself. You know, so by the way, I haven't been to Costco in a long time, but they used to have deckel rolled into steaks. That was, to me, that was great. That wasn't corned beef, though. It was fresh. Anyway, so the corned beef these days comes in around St. Patrick's Day, which is, after all, next Friday. This Friday, I should say. These things are available. And it was on sale. Now, I go to a supermarket. I don't usually buy meat there unless I see something that's really good and it's on sale. So I know the sale stickers, and I gravitate right to those yellow stickers. And sure enough, I get to the first yellow sticker, and it's corned beef. And the point cup is only $1.99 a pound. And going back today, I hope they still have, and buy some more, because that piece of meat usually weighs about 3 pounds or even a little under. The one that I got, I thought, was as well trimmed as you would want it to be, and it weighed a little under 3 pounds. I have another one in the fridge. They're about 3 pounds. And a 3 pound deckel or point cut shrinks up to be a lot. For Bob and me, it's enough for the two of us for two meals. So four servings in a 3 pound deckel. You're not going to get much more than that. You have to buy more than one. But at $1.99 a pound, it's Okay. Now, cooking a corned beef is as simple as can be, but in a way, not. Meaning, it requires a lot of attention. Just as the cannellini beans I've been cooking lately require a lot of attention if you want to get a creamy, tender bean without broken skins and blah, blah. Same with corned beef. If you want a really juicy, tender corned beef, you have to cook it very, very slowly. And the traditional way is, of course, on top of the stove, barely at a simmer. But this requires attention because to keep the water at just the right temperature requires adjusting the heat, I would say, every 5 to 10 minutes, depends on your stove. My new fancy stove has a setting on one of the burners where it does, in fact, keep the meat at really wherever you want it to be. It even has this burner even goes on and off, so that you can keep the nearest simmer going without it boiling. And anyway, it took and takes 3 hours of very, very gentle simmering at a tender 3 pound depth. I've always said this. I tested this again the other day because I made one. And yes, at least an hour per pound. And so if it's a 3 pound deckle, 3 hours. Now, it should be to know what's done is all you need to do is put a two-prong meat fork into it. If it goes through the meat easily, then it's tender enough. You do not want it to be fall apart tender, as I see some recipes do. Now, I followed the directions on the package my corned beef came in. And it said to use the bloody juices, or whatever you want to call those juices, those red juices that are briny juices that are in the bag with the meat. And so I did. I hadn't done that before. I used to drain it, not only drain it, but rinse off the meat. And my mother, I recall, used to blanch the meat and then cook it again, meaning she would put it in a pot of cold water. Bring it to a boil, take the meat out, and empty the pot, put in fresh water, and then cook the brisket for, I'm sure, 3 hours. Anyway, I did not put any vegetables in there, but I did put in the little packet of pickling seasonings that come with the almost, I must say, these days, almost every brand of brisket, of corn beef that I bought comes with this little packet of pickling spices. But I always have pickling spice for various reasons in the cupboard. They last a long time. It's mostly seeds, cloves, broken bay leaf, pepper. Anyway, you put a spoon of that in the water, but only after. Now, if you're not blanching this, put it in the pot. Put a cold water over it and put it over high heat, and you're going to see some really ugly scum come to the surface. I never saw scum like this before, but I think it was because the juices that were in the bag were full of probably protein, and I don't know, but it was a ugly kind of scum that I'd never seen before. I skimmed that off. And when no more, ugly stuff kind of came to the surface, well, as soon as the w water starts simmering, you're sort of at the maximum of ugly stuff. So skim it off. I have this wonderful, I have to keep a look online and see if I can find another one. I can recommend it. But it's a fine mesh sieve in the form of a skimmer. And it's actually the three sides of the skimmer has long handle. The three sides are curved so you can scrape around a pot and skim. Anyway, once no more stuff more or less is coming up, then you can put in the packet or the spoonful of pickling spices, and that's it. I added a bay leaf, my pickling spices, because I happen to have, I know you're going to laugh at this, Marshall, wherever I go, traveling, and there are bay leaves or other herbs to pick. I pick them and bring them home. And I happen to have a container of bay leaves that I picked in Ireland. And I thought, oh, you know, for good luck, let me put in one of my Irish bay leaves. I never, you know, since I'm usually in southern Italy and where the bay leaves grow, you know, are used as hedges around restaurants. But I go to Ireland and I find the bay leaves grow very, very well in Ireland and are used a lot in Irish cooking. So that's it. And then I just tended this pot for 3 hours. And I must say, this was one of the best corned beefs that I've ever cooked. It really was tender. I didn't bring it to the fall apart stage, but it was still extremely tender and juicy. And I had enough left over that I already started this. I'm going to make a hash with it. I used to say the best part of making a corned beef is to be able to eat the corned beef hash. In this case, we ate a lot of the meat as it was right out of the pot. It really was so good with potatoes. Oh, so that what I do is, after the meat is sufficiently cooked, take it out of the pot, bring the water, the cooking water, to a boil, and boil your potatoes, cabbage, and I had carrots, mine too. So I boil them until they're tender. I boiled the cabbage in wedges, so it didn't all fit in my pot. So first I did the potatoes and carrots, and then I took them out with the potted spoon and put in the cabbage and cooked that until it was tender. And it's delicious. I have to say, doesn't that sound like a New England boiled supper to you?
Well, it does not. And that's what, you know, that's what I do, Arthur. This is going to be the first year in a long time where I can't make a corned beef. And I do exactly what you do, but I get a small piece because it's only me. And when I finish cooking the corned beef, it takes me about 3.5 hours watching it. Then I do exactly what you say. I put my vegetables in that and bring them to boil. And I'm sitting here feeling wistful because I'm not going to be able to do it this year.
Somebody going to make it for you. I'll come up and make it for you. I'm going to stock up on this. You know, I just found out that my friend's daughter, who I'm close with and who I like to have dinner with more than once a week, but anyway, sort of once a week, and I just discovered she loves corned beef. So I think I'm going to have to make another one yet. I'm not complaining. By the way, I think corned beef is wonderful as a leftover. I mean, if you slice it very thin, it makes great sandwiches, after all. I didn't need it as a sandwich, though. Anyway.
I cook corned beef twice a year. I do it once in the summer, believe it or not, because I love corned beef sandwiches.
I do, too. When you get a good corned beef, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So I go to a Jewish-style delicatessen. I order pastrami. And even then, you know, the Americans have such a fat fetish. It's hard even to get a juicy slice of plate pastrami. A lot of places even use brisket to make pastrami, which I always think. Real pastrami is made from, it's more like a bacon cut. It's called plate. It's further forward, I believe, than the brisket. Corned beef is made from brisket. Oh, so speaking of all of this, I wrote a book called Arthur Schwartz's New York City Food, an opinionated history, legendary recipes. To me, the book is more about history than the recipes, although there are recipes there that I still make. However, in the book, I tell the whole story of the Reuben sandwich, which is corned beef on rye with Thousand Island dressing, Swiss cheese, and sauerkraut. And it should be a toasted sandwich. Put it on the grill. Let me say first, this is not a Jewish delicatessen sandwich. Jewish delicatessens that have no kosher rule, that are not really kosher delicatessens, they will serve a Reuben sandwich. But it is a no-no. If you're kosher, you cannot put cheese on a pastrami sandwich or a corned beef sandwich or on any meat sandwich. cheese, which is dairy, does not go with meat, which is meat. Anyway, the Reuben sandwich was not invented at Reuben's, the famous delicatessen, either. It was invented, I mean, the New York Times just the other day had a story with this big headline about, did you know where the Reuben sandwich came from? Something to that effect. You read the story and you found out nothing. It was a really misleading headline. But it did mention that the possibility, but I can tell you it's the truth, that the sandwich was invented in Nebraska, I guess Omaha, which at one time maybe still does have a significant Jewish population. And there was a poker game going on upstairs from whatever the name of the place was. And Reuben somebody or other, I'm forgetting his last name, was at this poker game and had the waitress, their waitress, concoct this sandwich for them. It was Reuben at Reuben's Delicatessen was once asked if the sandwich was his, and since he was a liar and a thief, I shouldn't say, he told stories. He embellished, isn't that the new word for lying? Embellished.
Yes.
He embellished things, and if you wanted to give him credit for that, he would take it. But in fact, I remember. I'm old enough to remember Reuben's. It actually had a comeback. I guess it was in the 1970s. Didn't last very long. But anyway, so the Reuben sandwich, which is a corned beef sandwich, is not a Jewish deli item. And was not invented at Reuben. And by the way, it won a prize, a sandwich prize. The waitress who invented this from Mr. Reuben, or was it Reuben, whatever. It was Reuben with a Polish last name. It's coming back to me. And she entered this in the National Sandwich Contest, which doesn't exist anymore, and she won. So that's how it worked. We're talking about the 1940s. Reuben sandwich did not exist before then. I have menus from Reuben's Delicatessen and old menus, a hobby. But original menu, you can find the original menu online, and there is no mention of any sandwich like this, like the Reuben.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I used to go into the state and I was always amazed to see how they made corned beef and then how they cut it and made it into these just magnificent sandwiches. And then they'd wrap it in aluminum foil and we'd get like 10 of them because we have the kids, mom, dad, and we'd take them back up to Connecticut.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were deprived in Connecticut in those days. I don't know. Is there any place near you can get a good pastrami sandwich? It's hard. I live in Brooklyn, and there's hardly one near me. You know what? I'll tell you who. I haven't been lately, but we have a barbecue place in Brooklyn that is really superior called Hometown, and Hometown has an outlet in what's called Industry City. I'm old, so I still think of it as Butch Terminal, which is what it was for, I don't know, 70 years probably. Now it's, these old warehouse on the waterfront buildings that have been turned into discount shopping mall, not discount shopping mall, eating places, etc. And Industry City houses the Hometown Barbecue, makes pastrami. So at least they. I looked on the menu and I didn't see it. I'm going to have to find out. Well, I can just go over there, and even if they don't have pastrami, they'll have something good. And then there's Katz's, is still my standard for pastrami on Houston Street. However, there is a Katz's in Brooklyn at City Point, which is a bit, it's a huge high-rise complex downtown Brooklyn. But at the lower level is a food court, which, among other restaurants, houses a Katz's delicatessen. I don't really know where else to go. I have to go to Manhattan, and then there's Slim Pickens too.
There's some restaurants up here, like the Woodland and stuff, that make really good corned beef and corned beef sandwiches. They even make a good pastrami sandwich, but it's extremely hard to find a good traditional pastrami sandwich.
Yeah, I know. Well, here too. So there, it's a dying breed. I have to say, there was a book. I'm forgetting the name of it now, but it had to have been written 25 years ago. How this was all going to happen? Predicted the death of well, certainly the kosher dough. My nephew Max Protzel, my niece Rachel's husband, is the proprietor with his sister Erica of Protzel Deli in St. Louis. And it is the city's oldest delicatessen, but it's not kosher anymore either. I'm sure that Max makes a Reuben. He has extremely good corned beef. I keep telling him you should sell it online. It's really good corned beef. Hard to find good. Anyway, yeah, and he's the only Jewish deli left. I understand there is a deli counter at the Super Duper Kosher. Supermarket in St. Louis, but I've never been there, so I can't the quality, just that it exists.
I consider a Reuben sandwich the equal to a croque monsieur. It's got to be made perfect.
Well, you know what? I make a, if you look at New York City food, there is a recipe for Reuben sandwich. I haven't made one in a while, but maybe I should this week, because I remember it's not a piled up high corned beef sandwich. It's very particular about the amount of everything, the sauerkraut, the cheese, whatever. I remember I made it for months and months, and I haven't made it in a long time. So I'm forgetting. I have to go look up the recipe myself. But I remember if you follow my instructions, you're going to end up with a superior. Well, you got to have great meat too, with superior. So cook it yourself. You know, it's not bad to sit in the kitchen and tend the pot.
Ever since about 10 years ago, I got hooked on Le Sueur. There's this real great cookware, and I learned that slow cooking in this cast iron, which is covered with enamel, is the
Huh.
only really way to cook.
Well, all my pots are very heavy. And in fact, what did I cook this in? I know I cooked this in a copper pot, but it was just boiling. However, I really want to try and will this week, sometime, cooking the corned beef in the oven as opposed to on top of the stove, because if you put it in the oven at, I would say 275, it will simmer at the perfect perk, 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 and you don't have to do anything except wait. The other thing is, the only thing is, I should say, my oven, when I did this, my oven racks, it was too much of a pain in the neck to move all the oven racks to accommodate the pot. And so I did it on top of the stove the old-fashioned way. But another way, my mother did this once, and I talked about it on the radio. This has got to be 30 years ago. She just put it in the oven on the same way she cooked it, the same way she would cook a not corned brisket, which is to say, on a bed of raw onion in a baking dish with the bay leaf or two, maybe a couple of carrots cut into rings. And all that's going to become your gravy. And I'm sure she washed off the brine of the pickling juices of the corned beef, put it on top, covered it with foil, and stuck it in the oven for 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, until the meat was really tender. I remember this being very, very good. So since it's $1.99 a pound, I can play.
That's right. Well, you can't go wrong. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't associate corned beef with St. Patrick's Day, but it's always a good excuse to eat more of it.
Well, you know, it's the time of year that you can get the corned beef. Because, by the way, corned beef and cabbage is not Irish. Nowadays, it's Irish, and it's Irish American originally, not Irish Irish. What the Irish had in Ireland was bacon, was pork belly, that very fatty piece of meat, which you would boil and give flavor to the water, which was then used to boil up your vegetables, of course, potatoes, chief among them. And and by the way, we used to trade with Ireland, we being the US, early 19th century America, used to trade with Ireland. We would import linen and export pork bellies. So that was actually a real trade thing. So, but I think, now this is a little bit of speculation, but I've read a lot about this in various places, that corned beef and cabbage was actually the dish of the German immigrants in the 18, who came in the 1840s, more affluent immigrants than the Irish immigrants who came about the same time, because they were suffering the potato famine in Ireland. They were dirt poor. But you come to America, and like every, by the way, every immigrant group, they come to America, they can eat more meat. Meat is, had, in the old country, would have been a precious thing almost no matter where you came from. And so the Irish, who didn't really eat much meat, bacon, saw the their German neighbors eating corned beef, cabbage, very German vegetable, I have to say, and root vegetables, also very German. And they said, oh, that looks good. And so they adopted this and, you know, became the St. Patrick's Day dish. I mean, I'm sure there are same corned beef and cabbage specials going on in restaurants all over America, so to speak.
Well, I think we've given them, especially you've given everybody a real good look at corned beef. And you've also answered the difference, which a lot of people don't realize, between corned beef and pastrami.
Oh, big deal difference. Oh, by the way, but you know, there are other differences. Pastrami is also smoked, and pastrami is covered in spices, a chief among them coriander seed. Now you may be cooking your corned beef with a little coriander in the water, but not, maybe it's pickled with a little bit, but it's not the same thing. Anyway, different kind of meat. But what I wanted to say is that I still adore corned beef hash.
Yes.
And it's such an easy thing to do. So make sure you add an extra potato or two that you're not going to get to eat with the corned beef, so that you'll have already cooked potatoes to make your hash with. I did. I had a little bit of potato, a little bit of corned beef. I sauteed an onion in butter. When it got golden, I added the potato. I sauteed that for a couple of minutes. The potato got a little softer. They weren't that soft to start. And I mashed them down a little bit and then added the corned beef, which I chopped up, not fine, but fine enough. And whatever you like, actually. And you mix all that in together. You smush it a little bit more because the potatoes want, you want the potatoes to glue it all together. And that's it. And you can eat your hash just like that. You can have it as a side dish to some scrambled eggs. You can make some fried eggs and put it on top, especially if you don't have quite enough hash to make a main dish out of it. Add some eggs. Now that I made myself hungry.
It's time to fulfill your destiny and make some corned beef.
Yeah, and more corned beef. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
We'll speak to you next week. Take care.